Beaches, and I was getting along just fine, fearlessly swimming in the water, eating seafood, catching sea creatures with my bare hands, until my mother and my older sisters thought it would be fun to go see a brand new movie called Jaws. If you haven't seen this movie, it involves a shark eating plenty of people, one of which was a very young boy riding a raft in the ocean, much like I did frequently. Something my sisters Lori and Mendy used to point out to me quite often and with great glee. They would see me walking towards the ocean, dragging my little raft behind me, and they might yell, "Hey, isn't that the same raft the kid from Jaws was on when he got eaten? And aren't you basically the same age?" I know it was all just in good fun, guys, but you were freaking me out. It got to the point where eventually I started having dreams about sharks. And it wasn't just like I was swimming in the ocean and they were coming after me. No, it was like if I was in a pool, they'd be in there with me. I could be in the bathtub and the sharks would show up. And it wasn't ending well. It got so bad, at one point I recall I had a dream where I was merely walking in my childhood neighborhood and a group of bigger kids started chasing me. And they were all carrying a dead shark in between them. And the two big kids at the front of the shark were working its jaws with their hands as though they were going to chew me up. It was around that time I quit eating seafood. In high school, some of my friends and I would get up early before the sun came up and before school began, and we would drive down to Hermosa Beach and we would go surfing in the dark. Now, I was a terrible surfer, so I gave up the board really early, but I continued going. I just brought flippers and I brought a full body wetsuit. We'd pull up there and all the guys would run in the water wildly and excited with that youthful exuberance. And I would stand on the edge of the water, and I would have to psych myself up to getting in. Not only was it dark and you couldn't see what was around you, but now I was going in fully dressed, just like sharks' favorite food, which was seals. And I knew that sharks had bad eyesight, and I was just sure I was asking for it. But I wasn't gonna let this fear stop me from having fun. But frankly, I was terrified every single time. I was learning how to deal with the fear in real life. But at night, I still hadn't quite mastered it. Even when I was in college, when I was getting really stressed, I would still have these dreams of sharks, and they'd changed over the years. They weren't so obvious, but I discovered the secrets of how to avoid them. And what I did was I just started walking the opposite direction. Anytime I saw water, anytime I saw anything that might contain water, or any dark recess that might allow sharks to invade. I could be walking in a restaurant and see a glass of water. I'd turn around and walk the opposite direction because I don't know how it was gonna happen, but somehow I was gonna shrink and fall into that glass and there was gonna be the sharks. But in this way, by turning away and going a different direction, I changed whatever nightmare I was slated for, and I started forcing my way into different areas of the dream that were not prescribed ahead of time. And I started finding some real interesting creative paths, which I had a little more control over. And eventually those shark dreams just started fading. They'd become redundant, unnecessary, useless, rejected, and they just faded into my past, where they belong.
Darker recesses in the
the storage spaces, and the shadows, and that's where my team worked the most, in the storage, moving things around, prepping for the next show to go up or come down or go out. The main areas where you sensed these remainders was in the two very long hallways on either side of the show space, the north and south end, and we're talking tens of yards, possibly 50 each, very long, very dark, very narrow and dusty. Now, we didn't want lights running back there the whole time, so what we did was we hooked up motion detector lights so that about every 12 feet one of these would pop on and help show you the way, but they didn't always work. And when you were going down these long areas, you had to turn sideways because there wasn't enough space to move through. And it was uncomfortable, and it felt like you were going down to the bottom of the ocean. Now, the two hallways were very different. There was the north and there was the south. And the south hallway, we all agreed, had a very positive and sometimes helpful entity living in it. So if you went back there looking for very specific things, you might say out loud what you're looking for. And before you knew it, the very thing you're looking for might fall to the ground behind you. Or like the one time I was looking for a very specific box of screws, and I said out loud what I was looking for as I was looking at the shelf that held all our screws, and I had been frustrated in trying to find these things, and once I said it out loud, I saw a box of screws slide into view, into the light. By no means that I could see, it had moved. And when I picked it up, it was what I was looking for. And so I said, thank you. So I was good with the south hallway. But over on the other side, in the north hallway, it was the exact opposite. Over there, there was a sense of malevolence and unhappiness. And it just permeated the entire length of that hallway. The main problem was that in the north hallway, at the very end, that's where we had the main breaker box for the entire gallery. Now that breaker box controlled all the lights and much of the power throughout the space. So once you arrived in the mornings to open, that was the first journey you had to make if you wanted some lights to be showing in this creepy space. You had to start that journey going down to the breaker box. For years, it was my duty to be the first man in every Saturday morning. It was easy enough, though frequently I might have been a little hungover, definitely tired. No one wanted to be in on a Saturday, but there I was, dragging my backside across the entire vast expanse of the show space. I'd drop off my gear at my desk. I'd lean into the south hallway and say, good morning, at which point usually the very last motion detector light would blink on as a little greeting. Then I had to go face the north hallway. I'd walk across to that space and I'd look down, and at the very far end, it always looked like there was a dark swirling mass of sort of lacy fabric moving around in a light breeze. And I'd have to really take my time and psych myself up and get moving down there. And it took a second, but I would get going, and I would just swim down that long hallway with my little pathetic phone light on, because when those motion detector lights didn't work, it felt awful dark back there. And you got this sort of undersea pressure, as though something's pushing down on you. And it's getting harder to breathe because you're thinking about breathing too much. And when you get down finally to the very back, the very end of that hallway, and you turn your back to where you just seen that swirling mass of fabric, that swirling weird dark shape, and you knew it wasn't there, but now that you got your back turned to it, you feel it prickling on your neck. You're getting goosebumps, but you're also trying to be busy with the breaker box, so you're flipping all the switches so the lights can come on and the power in the gallery. But even though you're flipping on all these lights everywhere else, there is no light where you are. So once you shut that little breaker door, you start moving towards that little rectangle of light you can see way down there at the surface. And so you sort of start trotting, and you're moving, but you could feel, or you, at least you think you feel something catching up behind you, and you're not running, but you're sort of running, you know? And then you're like, I'm not running, and you're running, and you're having this whole battle, and you got way too much time, because this hallway's way too long, and you're thinking about it all too much, and by the time you get through that door, you just push it closed behind you. And you hope you're done with that hallway for the rest of the day. Eventually, we found out that several people had been murdered there when it had been a nightclub, and it all just started fitting together and making sense. But by that time, we were almost out of that building. We were starting to move out. We had found another building, and they were gonna, the city or somebody was gonna knock down the old building and turn it into some very ugly condos. And we just had to get out. So one day when I knew it was the last time ever I'd be in that building, and I was closing for the last time, and I stationed my buddy Patrick at the door. I said, you stand here. This is what I'd started to do. Mind you, I was in my late 40s at this point, and I had a friend stand nearby, and I said, you stay right here, I'm gonna go down and turn off all those breakers. And I went down, I turned off the breakers, I had the usual kind of fear and prickly feeling on the back of my neck, and I trotted up to where Patrick was standing, and I stood in the doorway, and I suddenly realized, this is the last time I'm doing this. And so I turned to look down where that swirling mass was, where I always saw that little bit of weird fabric, that sort of movement down there that was inexplicable, and I started talking. I said, we're leaving, and they're gonna knock this building down, and I think you should go into the light or do whatever it is you need to do to move on. I don't think this is good for you, and you need to go to the next place. And in answer, all the motion detector lights went on as one. Whew. I'd never seen that before, and that would have been impressive enough. But then they started blinking in a random order. And they were flashing on and off, randomly and wildly, and I just stood there holding the doorknob with one hand, half in that hallway, looking down there and trying to look unfazed, pretending to be cool once again. But the thing is, I was 100% phased. I couldn't have been more phased. I wanted to bolt, but running's a bad idea because showing fear can sometimes cause an escalation in the situation and excite more of a response from whoever's putting pressure on you. So I stood there for about one full minute with my hand on the doorknob, just watching this bizarre light show before I finally said, "Well, all right then, and take care." And I just shut the door and did a quick step over to where Patrick was standing. I said, "Let's get out of here." Now, every once in a while, I walk by where the old building used to be. And that location is now a gigantic mass of really unattractive condos. And I have no idea if those spirits now inhabit that building, but I kind of hope that the negative one does. Because I gotta tell you, anyone buying one of those condos has terrible taste, and they're asking for it. Hello, WGXC Accra, Hudson, Catskills, and beyond. Thank you for calling. What's your name?
Hi, it's me, JP, from before.
Yeah,
remember me? I called in during your
show. Yeah, of course, JP.
I'm you.
Well, welcome back. Thanks for calling in again.
Our pleasure.
What is it you got for us today? You have a question or a request?
It's not a question this time. I wrote a song, and I thought you'd like to hear it.
You thought you'd bring it to us.
I don't have music. I haven't demoed the music side of it yet, so I thought I would just...
It's not really a song yet, then.
...read you the lyrics as though they were a poem, if that's okay.
I don't know, man. Is there any way I could talk you out of this?
No. I'll just hold our breath, and I don't think you're going to like that very much if we're not breathing.
No, breathing is really important to me.
Strap
in. To both of us.
And let me read this dang thing, and it'll be over before you know it.
Well, I mean, I remember your poetry. Oh, what?
Yeah.
I remember your poetry from like the early 90s.
That was a long time ago.
This is going to be just more of the same. Oh, it sounds like, okay.
Okay, it's called "There's Something Large That Hides Behind the Sun."
Oh, it sounds like a Star Trek episode.
There's something large that hides behind the sun. Its shadow is burned into planets. The ghost of its shape absorbs all the light, and none escape. None escape. None escape who enter.
Oh, God. Is there more?
The space in between us. It's not over yet.
Okay.
The space in between us is opening wide. We can't see from here to the other side. And none escape.
Yes.
None escape.
Okay, I got it.
None escape who enter.
Oh.
Enters.
Yes. Oh, geez.
What do you think?
Wow.
I mean, we'll follow the blues tradition, we'll repeat a few bits and pieces, we'll throw in some kind of piano-y bridge.
Oh, yeah, well, no doubt.
Hello?
That's going to be very hooky and amazing. And thank you for calling in, JP.
Well, I'm still here.
With that very cheerful
I've got others.
Lyric.
If you want to hear.
The times are dark enough, all right? And I'm already talking about hauntings. I
don't
just don't...
Think about what's
I'm going to take it back to our annoying, jangly music collage to round out the rest of the program.
What's at the bottom of the ocean? We don't really know. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of vast, dark spaces. Wait.
Thanks again, JP. I mean, it sounds like a self-portrait to me. I mean, are you suggesting that you're willing to plumb the depths of who we are?
Well, I mean, as artists and humans, part of the community of...
I think there's enough shadowy, deep chasms, spaces...
Go on, pontificate.
Within us all. I think that's probably what's the most scary.
Well, I'm the one who wrote a song about darkness.
You don't need the bottom of the ocean or
you're just
the furthest universe.
Yeah, go ahead and shut me down. I guess next you gotta tell me this crossover. We're on a hot mic, and you gotta get rid of me.
JP, I'm afraid that is it. In fact, thanks for the reminder. And goodbye. See you. Back to the music.
Yeah, hey, baby. Show's over in another few seconds. I'm gonna come home. Do you need me to pick anything up on the way home? All right, cool. I'll see you soon. Yeah, no, JP called in again. That was... How are we gonna stop that guy? I know it's me.